Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Fruitful Podcast. I'm your host, your modern-day Melon Maharaja, Zach Huddleston, and I'm so happy to have you with me here today talking about fruit, our love of it, our joy with it, our tummies full of it. Recently, I put up a Facebook status posing a question to all of my friends. Do you have any strong feelings about honeydew? To which I got 54 comments or responses. Now, granted, a lot of my friends are from the comedy community, so a lot of these responses were jokes, bits, goofs, gaffes. But within those, there were also a lot of opinions expressed. And of the many opinions, only 7 were outright positive. The vast majority of them were negative. And that's kind of what I expected. It's been my experience in doing this podcast and talking to many people about fruit that often when you ask somebody what their least favorite fruit is, it's honeydew. Here's an example of some of the negative comments that both came on my Facebook page, but also that I've heard from people in conversation. From my good friend Carrie Ramsey, honeydew is a filler fruit for suckers and fruit salad enthusiasts who don't know any better. Yep, filler fruit. That comes up a lot when talking about honeydew. My good friend Aaron McGathy had this to say: I hate it. That's hate with many A's. Even thinking about it makes me uneasy. Well, sorry I made you think about it a little bit, Aaron. My friend Shukri Abdi wrote: I used to like them, but then I heard a lot of trash talking about them, so now I like them a little less. This is a true statement and exposes a major flaw in my personality. Well, thank you for the candor, Shukri. Wow. Even just other people's negative opinions of honeydew can affect us. Even when people tried to give a compliment to honeydew, it was kind of backhanded. My Facebook friend Rebecca Williamson wrote, wrap prosciutto around it and it's doable. Of course, she was making a pun there. It's do, D-E-W. Kudos to you on the pun. I'm a big fan of fruit puns. But that's like saying it's only tasty when you've got some nice pork wrapped around it. Now, granted, there were a few positive comments. I see you, Bill Jackson, Josh Logan, Jeremy Penn. But by and large, people didn't like it. But then I saw this. One of these comments from my Facebook friend Alyssa Gill really stood out to me. She wrote, people like to hate on it, but I'm here for it. Part of its beauty is its subtlety. The color is soft, and the delicate flavor is often overlooked. It's a beautiful fruit. Yes, I couldn't agree more, Alyssa. I think you nailed it right there. Ah, it's a subtle, it's a delicate fruit, honeydew is. Of course, the fruit I'm talking about, honeydew, as we call it here in the United States, is more commonly known as the White Antibes. That's a French word. It's actually the name of a town in France known for their honeydew. Honeydew kind of originated in France and Algeria a couple centuries ago. It's in the cucurbit family, along with all the gourds and the other melons and the squashes. It's in the inodorous group. And I think that means like non-odorous, like it's not stinky, like the muskmelon, aka the cantaloupe. And in the inodorous group, you've got the Crenshaw melon, the winter melon, the cassava melon. You can see some of these in your fancier grocery stores, especially around this time of year, late summer, early fall. I saw some cassava melons not too long ago. They usually have like a yellow rind and look like they could be like a spaghetti squash almost. Of course, sometimes the honeydew, it has green flesh, green-white flesh on the inside, but sometimes it has orange flesh. Yes, you can get an orange-fleshed honeydew. I got one of these recently for the first time last week. Ate the whole thing by myself. Not ashamed to admit that. It's interesting because the flesh looks like cantaloupe, but it tastes like honeydew. Wow. It's a real goof of a melon. Of course, honeydew in popular culture, maybe one of the first things I think of is Dr. Bunsen Honeydew from The Muppets. He's the little scientist guy that wears glasses, even though he doesn't have eyeballs. He's usually accompanied by his little sidekick, Beaker. Of course, Dr. Bunsen Honeydew, his first name is derived from Robert Bunsen, after whom the Bunsen burner is named, that you know about if you've ever played with one in a chemistry class. And his last name is both a take on the fact that his head is kind of the shape of a melon, and it's a play on the technology company Honeywell Labs, which was running a lot of commercials and was pretty well known at the time the Muppets were created. But here's my problem with Dr. Bunsen Honeydew. His head actually doesn't look like a honeydew. If you look at it, it's actually much more of a cantaloupe head. Honeydew can't even catch a break in the naming of Muppets. Huh. Of course, if you hit the internet looking for honeydew, a quote that will pop up is from a Simpsons episode, season 11, episode 12, The Manchin Family is the name of the episode. And there's a particular scene. It's a single line in a scene, but there's a scene where a lot of our favorite characters are trapped in a fishing net being dangled over something. It looks like a blast. I don't know what the full context is, but Mo says Lack, the bartender, says, "We're going to die, and I never tasted cantaloupe." To which Krusty the Clown responds, "Eh, you didn't miss much. Honeydew is the money melon." Couldn't agree more, Krusty. Though I think that was probably written in jest, making fun of honeydew and its low stature in the melon world. I Googled and looked. There doesn't seem to be any honeydew festivals in the United States. There's no honeydew queen crowned. Doesn't seem to be a honeydew pageant. I mean, here in California, we have a garlic festival. There's a garlic queen crowned, and we can't get a honeydew queen. I talked on my very last episode to the cantaloupe queen of Nevada, but no honeydew queens. If you Google honeydew and hate, two articles pop up from the Extra Crispy blog in 2017. There's an article by Allison Robicelli titled "Why Everyone Hates Honeydew." And she put forth a couple things I think I agree with. She mentioned the polarization of honeydew and how people usually have strong feelings about it. Yes. And then she mentioned something that comes up a lot. Honeydew is often presented to us lazily. And there's that word again, as filler. Okay. And it's usually presented right in a fruit salad or on a fruit platter, usually with watermelon, cantaloupe, maybe pineapple, and then honeydew, right? So you got your four kind of melons with pineapple and four different colors. And it's really just there because it's green and it looks good next to those colors, right? It's rarely ripe. It's sometimes out of season. And so a lot of our experiences with honeydew are kind of this negative buffet type of experience, you know? Another article from 2014 on the New York Times blog was titled, "The Honeydew Melon Looks Good, But Does Anybody Eat It?" Well, come on, Josh Barrow. And though Josh does posit some interesting stuff here, he mentions that part of our bad experience with honeydew is that, at least in North America, honeydew is one of the fruits, along with cantaloupe, that you can get almost year round, though it's really only in peak season, of course, late summer, early fall. So if you're eating honeydew in the spring, if you're eating honeydew in the winter, it's not going to be a good honeydew. And that will cloud your experience with honeydew, therefore. As I pondered the plight of the honeydew, I purchased one from a Trader Joe's in, here in my native Glendale, California. And I noticed on those little stickers that you get on the outside of produce that not only did it list the name of the farm, it listed the URL for the farm. What? And it was for a Del Bosque farm. You might have heard about Del Bosque in the previous episode. I mentioned them in the cantaloupe episode, but of course I had to go to their website, and through there I found their contact information and I reached out to Del Bosque Farms, and lo and behold, Mr. Del Bosque himself, Joe Del Bosque, got back to me and he was willing to do a phone interview with me to talk about, among other things, honeydew melons. So I'll let Joe introduce himself.
My name is Joe Del Bosque and I'm a farmer in California, in Central California, located approximately 60 miles west of Fresno in the San Joaquin Valley. Here we grow melons, mostly organically, and we grow some almonds, asparagus, and cherries. Been involved in farming all my life because my father managed a farm right here in the same area, and I grew up on the farm with him, and he was a melon grower, so I learned a lot from him. Started my own farm in 1985, very small. And today we grow about close to 900 acres of melons, plus about 670 acres of almonds.
Then I asked Joe about why he thought honeydew melons get a bad rap.
Well, I don't know if it's got a bad rap, but it, you know, for a lot of people, a lot of people find cantaloupes very appealing. Mm-hmm. They have a nice warm yellow color, and the orange flesh on the inside just looks so, you know, so stunning and delicious. And cantaloupes are easy eating. Honeydews, on the other hand, they're a white color, almost creamy, and green flesh on the inside. They're very sweet, typically sweeter than cantaloupes. I enjoy them, but, you know, when I eat honeydews, I usually eat three or four slices. When I eat cantaloupes, I'll eat a half a cantaloupe very easily. So I think a lot of people maybe don't find the honeydew quite as easy to eat in larger amounts, but they certainly go very well with, you know, with a lot of your food.
Wow. Have you ever thought that the reason people might not like honeydew is that it's too sweet? Interesting. Boy, am I glad I called up a honeydew farmer. Of course, then I had to ask Joe what he likes to eat. Do you have a particular favorite? I know that might be like trying to pick a favorite child, but if you had only one fruit that you had to pick as your number one, which one would it be?
I think it would be a cantaloupe because I grew up with cantaloupes. You know, I've been eating cantaloupes since I could probably eat, you know, I was old enough to eat a cantaloupe because my father always worked with them since back before I was born. But I love them all. You know, we grow those mini watermelons that are very good too. They're very sweet and delicious. You know, they go great on those hot summer afternoons.
While I had an expert on the phone, of course, I had to ask, how do you pick a good honeydew?
Well, for honeydew, you know, the first thing you want to look at is, and, you know, maybe the only thing you're going to be able to look at is the color. And if you can find a honeydew with a creamy color on the outside and less of a green shade, it's likely to be ripe. You know, you want to turn it around, look at all of it and make sure it's not soft or something like that. But that's about the only thing you can tell on a honeydew. Cantaloupes, on the other hand, have more indicators, that will tell you what a good cantaloupe is. The first thing you want to look at on a cantaloupe is you want to see that netting on the outside. It's got to be a fairly tight netting, not a loose netting. You want to have the netting kind of a little bit thick, not low and flat. I don't know if that's easy to visualize. You want to have that sort of yellow, straw yellow color on it, not green. And then you look on the stem end of a cantaloupe, and you want it so that the stem came off clean, it detached clean from the fruit, and you've got a nice round, sort of a semicircle scar there. And that's what you want. And you want, if you can smell it, maybe you may be able to smell a little bit of the fragrance. Whereas honeydews don't have hardly any fragrance, cantaloupes do. And of course, you don't want a soft cantaloupe. You want to have something that's firm. But that netting and that color are really good indicators of a pretty decent cantaloupe.
Del Bosque Farms is interesting, too, because it's an organic farm. So I had to ask Joe about what it's like to be an organic farmer.
Well, we don't have a lot of the crop protection tools that are our non-organic counterparts have. This year we have had a particularly strong presence of insects out here. It started out early with a lot of darkling beetles. These are little beetles that, you know, walk around on the ground, and they'll get underneath the melon and start chewing on the bottom of the melon. And those were very intense early on. Later on, we had a lot of aphid, and aphid, if you have like roses, they get on your leaves and stems, and they start to suck off the juices from the plant. And we've had a lot of those too. And not only do they do that, but they also, the aphids also, they exude a liquid called, out in the business, honeydew. This little liquid, tiny, tiny drops that drop from the aphid and it sometimes drop on the fruit as honeydew. It's just a clear, sticky stuff on the fruit. It doesn't really affect the fruit, except, you know, people don't like to pick up something that's sticky and it doesn't look attractive. It doesn't affect the fruit, but it makes it unmarketable for us.
That's ironic that the excretion of an aphid is also called honeydew, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's, you know, I don't know exactly what that is. It's just clear material.
Yeah.
And so those aphids are hard to control. We use a lot of beneficial insects to help control the pest biologically, and we use a few approved materials, you know, to try to control them. But they're very difficult. Whereas, you know, my counterparts, they can use pesticides. We have to do it a very slow, natural way, and sometimes the aphids are almost insurmountable.
What does the future look like for melons? Is it going to be kind of shifting more towards organic farming? Are there new kind of, you mentioned your Gallia melon. Is it kind of going to be more kind of interesting hybrids and different varieties and things like that?
Yes, I think there are going to be more varieties. There's, you know, farmers are always looking for what customers out there may want. So we're always looking. I shifted from conventional cantaloupes to organic because I felt that there was going to be a growing market, and there is. It's not growing in leaps and bounds, but it is growing a little more every year. A lot depends on the chain stores and so forth, if they're willing to carry them. Some don't want to, and some do. But I think there is a future here. We have our challenges, you know, here in California and everywhere. We have challenges having enough labor. That's going to be a big challenge for us in the future, whether we have the people to pick these melons as we do now. And what I mean by that is right now we're planting and harvesting our traditional varieties, which is the one that tastes the best of all. You know, if they ever mechanized cantaloupes, I guarantee you the cantaloupe that will lend itself to being harvested mechanically is not going to have the flavor that you have right now. So we're trying to continue to make keep this a viable crop despite some of these challenges.
Finally, I wanted to know how Joe, somebody who eats and lives and breathes and sleeps produce and melons, how he likes to eat or prepare honeydew.
You know, that would probably be a good question for my wife. She does make melon salad. She does it with watermelon, where she'll use a little bit of olive oil. She used some seasoning like basil, and I don't know all the things that she puts on it, and it's very good. I imagine you can do that with any melon. She also does salsas. She dices them up small, and I don't know all that she puts in there, but it's kind of like a pico de gallo.
Sure.
And it's delicious. Everybody that eats it really thinks that's great.
Oh, great. Are you more of just a straight fruit man yourself, Joe?
Yeah, I usually just eat the fruit by itself, but my wife likes to jazz it up. You know, one of the ways that a lot of people here in our area eat melons is there's a seasoning called tajin.
Sure.
T-A-J-I-N. It's a Mexican seasoning, and a lot of people here mostly are Hispanic that use it. You sprinkle it on there, and it's really great on a watermelon. You sprinkle it on there. It's got a little bit of salt. It's got some chili seasoning. It's really actually pretty nice. Yeah, people should look for that. T-A-J-I-N, tajin.
That's great. An incredible giant thanks to Joe Del Bosque of Del Bosque Farms. And again, that's Del, D-E-L, Bosque, B-O-S-Q-U-E. Ooh. You can find them on the internet. They're on Twitter, Del Bosque Farms. They're also on Facebook and Instagram at Del Bosque Farms. And on Facebook and Instagram, they like to highlight a lot of their organic produce, because that's where organic people live, on Facebook and Instagram. And of course, they have organic honeydew melons, cantaloupes, watermelons. They have a specialty melon called a Gallia melon that I mentioned briefly. Check them out. Such wonderful people. And Joe brought up a lot of interesting topics. I hope to go into more depth in the future, including labor as it relates to farming. Mentioning that, you know, certain types of melons, most types of melons, aren't able to be machine harvested. So they rely on human workers. There's so many. He brought up 1,000 very interesting things. And he gave yet another endorsement to Tahine. Almost every single guest that's ever come on the Fruitful Podcast has endorsed Tahine. And I love it too. They all kind of act like I wouldn't know about it. No offense taken, guys. Tahine, it's great. Everybody loves it. I will also say, after doing some investigating on the internet, some other things people recommend, ways to consume honeydew, a little balsamic vinegar. Ooh. Of course, wrapping it with prosciutto, throwing it into a salad, maybe with some arugula. I saw one person mention that, especially if you have maybe some not great honeydew that you got from a buffet or something like that, dip a little bit of ginger ale in there. It'll kind of soak it up, marinate it a little bit. Not for me, but give it a try. Well, as we're talking about honeydew, we got to have somebody eating some honeydew. Luckily, as I was editing this episode and cutting up just a perfectly ripe, I found an amazing honeydew at the market. It was some of the best I'd ever had. And I happened to be coaching an improv team tonight. I spent a lot of my time coaching and teaching improv comedy to wonderful folks. And I coach a group called Bill and Dana, who I know through the now defunct Io West Theater. And I brought some honeydew to their rehearsal. That night, there were only two members of the team there, Devin Entmacher and Dorothy Garcia. And lucky for me, Devin happens to hate fruit, not just honeydew, folks. He hates all fruit, avoids it. You'll hear a little bit more from Devin and his distaste for fruit. And you'll hear all of us reacting to, again, the best honeydew I've ever had in my life. Okay. Dorothy, do you have any specific thoughts on fruit in general or honeydew specifically?
Well, honeydew, I'll tell you, I thought that was just a list that wives gave to their husbands. But no, to be honest, I do love me some honeydew.
Oh, okay,
I do.
Good.
I do. I'll tell you that. And this looks great.
Yeah. Okay, great. And now, Devin, you don't like any fruit.
Yeah. I don't. This is probably the worst possible thing to start with, because as you said, most people don't like this. It was like starting with the absolute, like, furthest spectrum of what I'm probably going to like. Yeah. My whole life, the thing I've gotten shit for my entire life is not eating fruit. And this is tough.
And there wasn't a single traumatic experience that swayed you from fruit. You've just never been a fruit eater.
Yeah. My dad swears that when I was like 2, I would eat it. And then it just flip switched one day and I stopped. And I remember my parents always say my first word was meat. I would yell meat in the backseat of my car or my dad's car. And my brother would have to like have cut up like hot dogs to give me to quell this. So I think, yeah, I don't know what happened.
Wow. Okay. We're just going to, feel free to grab a fork and a delicious morsel of honeydew melon.
Oh God. This is like genuinely traumatic. Like, I don't think you understand. I'm gonna take the smallest bite.
Oh yeah, that is juicy.
All right, wait. What is the white part or the green part better?
No.
What do I go for if I'm only going for a small part?
The white part would probably be the sweetest.
Oh really?
That's from the inside of the melon.
See, I was really thinking that was like the more rindy part.
Yeah, no, that's from the closest to the middle. So
okay,
yeah, that would have probably the least.
All right, here we go. Okay.
Can you do it?
It wasn't as bad as I thought. There's no way I can eat this whole thing.
And by whole thing, you mean One piece on a fork. not a whole melon.
No.
But one bite. Wow. When was the last time? So is this the first fruit you've eaten in how long?
Gosh. So the last time I like really genuinely gave it a shot was probably 2010. I was in Costa Rica for a while, and I was on this like farm, and there was like these, you know, fresh fruits, and it's got a ton of oranges, and he had these things called sweet lemons, which I didn't know existed, but they're like big lemons that are like white. They're almost white. They're like a very pale yellow, and they just taste like someone took a lemon and inserted just like a ton of sugar into it. So it was that I was like, okay, I like this. And I would eat some of the oranges, but it was always kind of so I tried mango, hated it.
What? Mango?
I would eat like a little pieces of pineapple, but then like couldn't hang. Yeah. But there's something, the flavor itself, I don't think is terrible.
Okay.
But there's just something about the texture and the graininess of eating the actual fruit itself that like, it just makes my stomach turn.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Sorry. But that's as close to an endorsement as a non-fruit eater can give honeydew melon, I feel like. And now as somebody who's a partisan for honeydew, who normally enjoys it, Dorothy, what do you think?
I think this is delicious. It's one of the best honeydew melons I've ever had. Wow. Very appeasing to the palate. My taste buds are doing somersaults.
Yeah. Wow, wonderful.
Sounds like you prepared that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think we talked about this last time we were together, but can you explain what the difference between a honeydew and a regular cantaloupe?
And that's where I'll cut it off. Yes, that's a clear sign that Devin doesn't know much about fruit if they're asking me to explain the difference between honeydew, cantaloupe, and watermelon. Quite all right. And I can vouch for the listeners at home that as he was eating a very small bite of honeydew, he was visibly agitated. He did eat it, and he did seem to enjoy it. Could not finish the forkful. Fascinating. I am fascinated by people like Devin. He might have to come back on another episode, and I'll torture him with more delicious fruit. Though I will say, to the honeydew's credit, an avowed fruit hater admitted that it was pretty good. Wow, it's quite a feather in the cap. To close out this episode, we're going to go back to last week's guest from the cantaloupe episode, James Dunn. While recording the cantaloupe episode, we got a little philosophical about honeydew. We went down a little honeydew-scented tangent, and I think we plowed some interesting terrain. We might have totally revitalized the image of the honeydew melon. Well, you can be the judge of that. What? Because I do think honeydew is the distant third place of the big three melons.
Right.
Okay. The least loved, the most controversial, the most people don't care for it or have apathy towards it. What if, let's say you're in charge of honeydew, what changes do you make? Now you can rename it. You can market it. You can pick a totally different vibe for it. The fruit remains the same, but like what changes do you make to the public perception of honeydew?
I'm honest with the public. I come out there and I say, hey, look, chances are you've had a, I look straight down the barrel of the camera and I tell America, chances are you've had a bad honeydew. Mm. And I say, I'm sorry. And then I am meticulous with the American public, the public at large, the world, with what steps you need to take in order to get the most life and flavor out of your honeydew. The name, to me, it's perfect.
It's a great name. Of the three melons,
it's got
the best name.
Yeah, I mean, watermelon
is not descriptive of what that melon is.
It's kind of boring.
Yeah.
Cantaloupe, I mean, like we've said before, cantaloupe has got an identity crisis. It goes by a million different names.
Right. And it's got a negative term right there at the front.
Can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got the name. The name is perfect. In fact, I'm writing, you know, as the new sponsor for honeydew, I'm getting a honeydew, novelty or a license plate, HNYDEW. And I'm cruising down the street in that. I'm telling people, don't be afraid. Maybe that's the new slogan. Don't be afraid.
Yeah.
because I don't think, I think people don't buy honeydews because they are a Rubik's cube of flavor.
I like the apologizing for the transgressions of the past. That's like what Domino's did,
right,
when they admitted they had crappy pizza.
Hey, that pizza sucks, yeah, but get a load of this.
And then I also like the idea of like rebranding it as like a fruit man's fruit.
Oh my.
You know?
Yeah.
Hey, there's some expertise required here. This isn't your apple. This isn't your banana.
No.
Okay, this is a thinking man's or woman's or person's kind of fruit, right?
There you go.
And maybe don't even, hey, embrace the third place. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, hey, yeah, we don't want to be the most popular melon, dude. Right,
exactly.
This is for people in the know.
Yeah. That is, I want to buy a honeydew right now. Because you said that it's sort of like, oh, cool. You like your life easy and given to you on a silver platter. Okay, go get a watermelon.
Yeah.
You like to, you know, you're looking for maybe the Dostoevsky of fruits, the War and Peace of fruits.
Yeah, the David Lynch.
Lynch of fruits. Why don't you sit down, and crack open a honeydew, and then give me a call.
Yeah.
Oh man.
We did it. I think we cracked the code.
I would actually be looking in. Out in the world to see if any of this starts to happen.
When you think about it, when you think about them visually, both their flesh and their shells, boom, watermelon, bright, vivid colors, big greens, big reds, right? Cantaloupe, that nice orange, and then you get the reticulated, the kind of crazy texture.
Uh-huh.
Honeydew.
Mm-hmm.
Pale. Lightish green,
light.
Both the flesh and the exterior. Mm-hmm. You could easily just miss it. In the produce aisle.
Yeah.
Just walk right by it, not even realize it was there, right? Mm-hmm. But that can be an asset. The bug is the feature. You know what I mean? Like, it's the normcore of fruits.
It's sort of, you've passed us by for years. Now take a look inside.
We were here the whole time. Those are my footsteps.
That's when I was carrying you. The honeydew.
That's sure, you ignored me in those fruit salads.
Mm-hmm.
Those fruit salads couldn't have existed. You're not going to be able to afford an all berry fruit salad. Don't kid yourself.
Yeah. Who are you? Microsoft guy?
Yeah.
honeydew. We've been shoved to the edge of your plate.
That's where we like it.
That's where we like it.
We're outsiders.
We've been shoved to the outside of your plate. Can you hear us ripening? Oh man, that makes me want to just bite into the outside of a honeydew.
Okay. Thank you so much to James Dunn for appearing, unbeknownst to him, in two episodes in a row. And of course, thank you to Dorothy Garcia and Devin Entmacher. And thanks again to Joe Del Bosque. Support all those people in all their lovely ways. And let's support honeydew, okay? I'm a firm believer that lots more people would love honeydew if they just had a positive experience with the great honeydew, like I did with Dorothy and Devin. So again, to reiterate some tips... Avoid green on the rind. It should be a creamy yellow or a white. You don't want any green on the outside of your honeydew. That's how you know it's a mature, ripe fruit, okay? It should also be heavy for its size. Pick up a couple of similar shape and go with the heaviest one. Also, some people recommend if you shake it a little bit, you should be able to hear seeds rattle just a little bit on the inside, because those seeds on the inside of the melon, they loosen up and they kind of release from the flesh when the melon is very ripe. Also good to know, of course, if you take a honeydew home, it will continue to ripen a little bit for a few days on your counter. So you've always got that. If they don't have any great melons at the market, you can always take one, the best one you can find home, let it sit there for a couple days. Fortunately, it will not continue to ripen once you've cut it open. So at that point, get out that ginger ale, baby, or maybe the tahine. But definitely give honeydew a chance. Okay. Also look, the stem end, like we talked about in the cantaloupe episode, the stem should have released completely from the melon. So there shouldn't be like a little bit of a stem poking out. And then on the opposite end of the stem, kind of the innie belly button, if you want to give that a little poke, it should have just a little bit of give to it. You don't want a hard melon. You also don't want a shiny melon. It should be kind of opaque. That again is a good sign of ripeness. I'm telling you folks, if you find a good honeydew, it will change your perception of the melon. My whole reason behind the podcast is to get more people talking and enjoying honeydew. And if we can eat more seasonally, that's good. That's good for you. That's good for the environment. That's good for everything, right? You can eat more locally, eat more seasonally. And right now happens to be a great season for honeydew. Get into some of that delicious white green fruit, okay? As always, thank you for listening to the Fruitful Podcast. You can like the page on Facebook under Fruitful Podcast. Just search around and clickety-clack on that. You know, subscribe, leave a review on iTunes, I guess. You know, no big difference. It's only ego fodder for me. And guys, my ego's doing okay right now. Not great. It could be better, but it's doing okay. And you know what? With every bite of honeydew, it feels a little bit better. Thank you as always. Have a great, wonderful, fruitful week. Bye, guys.